listening to Fresh Take.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
What to do? Welcome to Bootleg and B-Side. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the new classic, your back-to-back movie draft champion, Nick.
What's going on, gentlemen?
And the talented, sexy, dangerous Devonair, it's Devin Seal.
Collusion. That's what that is. Collusion.
Collusion. Yeah, so again, congratulations to Nick, back-to-back champions. Of the movie draft. I haven't been defeated according to polls for the music draft yet, so we'll see if this is the year that can pop me out. We're way too long to get to this one, I think, but we try to do it every month, but hey, times get busy, but it's the summer now, so maybe we'll be able to get these out more on the monthly side of things. 1996, Nick, you and I were coming into our own at this point.
Yes, 100%.
I was into the double digits of our life.
Yep. I was this is grade 10. This is grade 10 for me. Heading into getting out of the grade 9 into the grade 10, the high school.
And I'm just starting junior high. So I'm in grade 7 at this point. And Devin, where are you?
Very respectfully, I was probably like in grade 3 or 2 nice. Or 3. Yeah.
Perfect. Amazing. So Barney is just killing it right now.
Ooh. No, not Barney. Don't be
Power crass. Rangers.
Oh my god. I think Power Rangers what, 93? I remember the first day it came out. 96 would be firmly like X-Men, as we talked about.
Yeah.
Spider-Man the animated series. Like prime Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah, I have.
One starts this year, I believe, in 96.
I am primed for anything that's on TV. Weekly, like this is it's
Pokemon,
ridiculous.
Sailor Moon, Apex, YTV
Pokemon,
combo.
Pokemon in Japan around this time. I think it came out in 95, but it took a few years.
I remember that reach. YTV Pokemon and Sailor Moon connection.
Oh, 100%. Like
we're
getting this is
on same time in CBC, so it was a tough choice.
It's the start. It's clearly the start of anime coming over.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because you have. Nickelodeon on the Saturdays has anime hour that was going against One Saturday Morning's not 96. That's not till like 99, right? One Saturday Morning with recess and everything.
Oh, probably much later.
We're TGIF time though, right? Like we're Boy Meets World and all that stuff right now.
Oh, Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Life's good. Life's good in 1996. I'm not going to lie.
As far as music goes, Nick, where are you as far as music goes?
I was into a lot of hip hop and punk rock in junior high. And then getting into high school, when I got more friends who actually knew something about music, they started opening my eyes a little bit more to some of the rock and roll stuff. And I vice versa with the hip hop. But yeah, a lot of heavier stuff, a lot of stuff I never really listened to, that I didn't even know was out there and, you know, discovered a ton of stuff in the next 3 years of my life.
Yeah. For me, like I said, 11 this year, you know, getting to kind of the side stuff of my sisters are listening to, which will be a little bit influenced in this, but majorly into a little bit of rock, but mainly hip hop. We are at the apex of the East and West beef. At this point, this is the year that Tupac dies. At the end of the year, he drops his last like album that he's, you know, around for, I believe. Yeah, because Machiavelli is after this. So that's a big thing for this year. And for me, 11-year-old, not knowing anything about the world, really, all about the West Coast. Fuck the East Coast. That was my mentality. I didn't know, and I didn't want to listen to Biggie. I didn't want to listen to Mace or anyone affiliated with Biggie at that point. Obviously now, you know, coming at the turnaround into my 40s, that has now changed now as you spread out your music catalog. But a major bump here and a lot of good hip hop. We have one of the greatest albums of all time. Maybe four. You keep on thinking, but there's two albums specifically that would be considered on the greatest album of all times. that came out this year. One that's a genre defining album that came out this year.
Just
and
say
another
it.
One that's just very good personally to me. Well, it's the Fugees. The Fugees album is one of the greatest hip hop albums of all time. Hip hop, R&B, whatever you want to put it as.
So let me ask you guys this, because I at this point in time I'm very clearly like listening to whatever's on the radio in the car driving to school. I'm not consuming music like you guys were.
You're not in grade three being like West Coast baby.
I probably was like listening to Ace of Base or something. I don't know.
Ooh, nice.
But this, like, it seems to me that the 90s are such a great melting pot of genres in the top 40s, more so than any other time in our lives. Like, even in the 2000s, it was kind of basically between manufactured pop and then hip hop. This, when you're looking at all these bands that we're going to talk about, all these groups, like, we have people like Beck, Celine Dion, Toni Braxton, Aaliyah, Rage Against the Machine. Like, that doesn't really happen in many other times in history, but I think in the 90s we really have like, you know, is grunge kind of tapering into something different now at this point? Like, we're getting kind of back into the rock roots.
Yeah, I'd say so. You're seeing a little bit of a turn of alternative this year. I think that, like, we're not getting to where we got into the mid aughts with alternative, but you can see some signs of where alternative is. And I don't think we're near, I was going to ask you this too, Nick. I don't think we're near pop rock really yet. Rock is still rock. There's not that pop sense to it, but you definitely do feel a sense of some genres like hip hop, R&B, rock. There's a melding of some of these genres into different genres that we saw way back with Aerosmith and Run DMC, and we saw throughout, you know, the past few years. But this year is one of the years when you go through some of these singles, you're really starting to see a blend of genres.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, this was, it's almost like the grunge bands grew up, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they became like a little bit more mature, a little bit more matured sound, a little more polished, you know, the production was a little bit better. So that those bands, you know, that were coming out with albums were rock albums. You know, you listen to Siamese Dream from Smashing Pumpkins and you listen to, you know, Infinite Sadness, you know, I mean, that's 95, but you know, you listen to the two albums and it's like, one is clearly more polished.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, and that, you know, and I think it's just the maturity of the industry, really.
I think you kind of see the same with Bush and the two records that they put out. I mean, Pearl Jam has an album this year. It sounds a lot different than the Pearl Jam we heard in the early 90s.
100%.
Now you're in the mid 90s with the Pearl Jam, and you can tell the difference.
Yep. Well, same with Soundgarden too, right? I mean, you know, you go from like Black Hole Sun to, you know, or Super Unknown to I don't know, whatever their album was called this year. You know, I can't remember the name of it, but you know, it's a different sound. You know, you go for Pretty Noose wasn't even close to being on Super Unknown, but then that's like a big song coming here, and then their evolution into Audioslave.
Yeah, and then hip hop. I mean, hip hop. I thought you brought up a good point, because I would, you know, I still don't know what the trend is. I'm going to kind of roll with whatever you guys do for the trend, because I couldn't really figure out the trend. I thought it was kind of the apex here of East and West Coast, but Nick brought up the good point of, I mean, as far as Death Row, he said 93, 94 is, you know, real top for Death Row. And you're right, because that's when you get Chronic and you get Doggy Style. Dog Pound comes out
Dog
the
food,
next
yep.
year, and you have Regulate in 94 as well. And I think Nate Dogg has his separate album coming out as well. So West Coast is really hitting then, and this is kind of the tail end of Death Row being what Death Row is with this Pac album. I mean, Snoop has an album this year. It's a good album. It's not what Doggy Style was. It's not as memorable of what Doggy Style was or what some of the other Snoop albums would be. I believe this is the last album on Death Row before Snoop goes to No Limit, too.
No Limit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You start out with Busta's in this year. So you're starting to see a few other artists emerge. You're starting to get a little bit of the Midwest with a certain group in this in this year. So although I think that was a 95, but you're seeing some stuff from them. So it's a very interesting and a unbelievable Canadian year with two of the most iconic Canadian acts of all time having two of their greatest singles and albums.
Want to elaborate on who those are?
How about we have surprises to stuff?
There's actually a few more.
There's a lot, but there's two specifically that had like iconic years.
we're basically, those are first round picks all across the board, probably.
So, Dev, explain the rules and format and all that sweet stuff.
Well, the format, I mean, it previously it wasn't a draft, but upon Nick's suggestion, it is a draft now. So if you pick a song that's no longer on the board. Yeah, we're trying to make the best possible mixtape, if you will. We got 10 songs. We got categories including rock, pop, electronic, R&B. Hip-hop/rap is a separate category from R&B, but, you know, we'll have rulings, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the emerging trend is in 1996, which Josh had already mentioned is West.
No, it's not. Nick talked me out of it. I don't know what it is.
I have an idea. I might save it. I think it actually started in 1995, but
Nick and I were talking in a separate text, you were making me sway that it was kind of like, this was kind of a start of dance and techno really starting this year, because there is a lot.
Okay, so I'll throw out two trends, and we can talk about it further. The first one I'm thinking of like, we're firmly in 1996 in the midst of the Britpop invasion. Oasis and Blur both came out in 1994, 1995, and we're basically battling all 1995. There's a bit of remnants in that. They didn't release albums in 1996, but I'm sure there's a band in here that someone's probably being like, how could you forget so-and-so? The other one is probably the emergence of the girl group.
That's one that I had.
Interesting. Okay.
And that really starts the late 90s and the manufactured idea of pop, like Simon Cowell and you know, producer led groups of people who were smashed together who didn't know each other at all, is very much in 1996 or started in 1996. I don't know. Ska? Is ska a thing in 1996?
Ska's always a thing.
I would say I that was one of the ones I had kind of on the back burner. There's one more big one that I had, but that was one of them.
What movie am I thinking of where they're really obsessed with ska? Is it Rounders? No. What's the movie with Vince
Basketball?
Vaughn?
Yeah, Rounders. And Swingers. Yeah.
Swingers.
Basketball has Swingers. A lot of ska.
Basketball has like everything. Like Real Big Fish is like a staple of that movie. Yeah.
That's what I think about ska. I just think about basketball and then the wrestler Sami Zayn.
Okay, well, so we might have some ska in 1996. I actually don't know for sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, Real Big Fish.
There it is. They came out with their big album. That was a big album.
Okay, so here's album of the
Basketball is what, 98 though, right?
Yeah, I'm on albumoftheyear.org, which is not official at all, and they mentioned Sublime as ska.
Because they were a ska band.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's how they started. They were Orange County. They came up with No Doubt.
Definitely.
So yeah, that I would was have that said Orange No County Doubt would have been ska sound. If No Doubt was out this year.
Yeah, No Doubt was the ska band.
Okay, so I think we have a couple different things that we can go to discuss.
Should we do the draft order?
When it comes to the trend, and we might get that out of the way right away.
Okay, so we get this together here.
Does this
the randomizer?
Nick, you're going like,
I already got my trend. We could talk about it now, or we could talk.
I randomized it.
What
first
do we got?
Pick? Is Josh.
Damn it.
Second pick is Nick. And third pick is Devin.
Oof. Oh, I'm coming for you guys.
Let's do it. That's rock and roll.
All right. So I'll start off the draft. You know, it's with much deliberation. It's hard. There's a lot of solid tracks this year.
Yes.
But with much deliberation, with the first pick, Fatacular 1996. Picks in the pop category, Wannabe, Spice Girls.
Okay.
God damn. Well, okay. It's obvious. Of course it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this, I remember listening, I took the bus with my sister and listening to this album a lot with her on the bus. Or sometimes you take it where you had the Discman and you played the headphones as loud as you could for everybody. So, this came out, this video was everywhere. Video was everywhere. Song was everywhere. Not my favorite Spice Girls song. That's too much, but that came out next year. But this is, I mean, I don't even think this is the peak of Spice Girls. I would say next year is the peak of Spice Girls. Wannabe was arguably their biggest song, but I'd say next year is apex
Yeah.
Spice Girls, 97.
What category are you putting this in?
Pop. Why, well, you wouldn't put it in the
Okay.
pop?
Not a bad choice. No, of course you can do whatever you want asking. Like, it's just
This
a
is the rough
question. I
thing
would be
about
put it in a
having the
different
first pick
category. That's
now, because
okay. I got
now
my own strategy.
four songs are going to get taken now that I know I want, but I'm going to go with Wannabe and Pop. Nick,
Okay.
you're on the board.
Cool.
Don't hurt me,
Okay.
Nick.
Yeah, I'm gonna hurt you with this one. I don't know if I am. Who knows? But I'm getting this category out of the way. We kind of touched on it, and you're right. There is two artists in this category that really trump everybody,
Yeah.
and it is the Canadian category. And
Yeah.
I am going to pick Celine Dion. It's All Coming Back to Me as my first pick.
There's three then.
100%.
There's three artists then. They didn't have Celine.
Celine Dion won Album of the Year. It won Album
Pretty
of the
good.
Year. It was like it was that song
Still
is
coming back
a quintessential Canadian song. Are you
to
kidding me? Oh, such a good song. I listened to it the other day and I was like, man, this song still is so good.
That's one of those
It's gotta be your
songs.
best
If
song too, right?
you're like driving home, like specifically
Oh.
late at night from like a gig or like, going out and it comes on and it's like 11 o'clock at night and you're just driving on the highway, you're just like, fuck this. I'm turning this shit up and I'm just yelling at the top of my lungs.
100%.
If you got
So
dumped in the 90s, you cried, yelled the song at some point.
I'm actually
Yes.
surprised we haven't had like that movie scene with someone like belling this out in a car. It seems just so ready for it to be done.
We don't see a lot of Selena movies though, so I wonder if her like rate is just really high.
It might be.
Yeah,
All right,
Sony's
Dev.
keeping that on lock.
You got back-to-back jacks.
Okay. We're already on Canadian content.
Oh, God damn
This
it.
song I do not associate with 1996 because my brain had not fully developed. But looking back, I'm really, really happy when it came out. In Canadian content, I'm taking Ahead by a Century by The
Fuck.
Hip.
Ooh.
I gotta
Okay.
just take it right away because it's so versatile. Is it probably their best song?
I think it's the most recognizable song. When we were dealing with everything with Gord and the Hip and the big concerts, this was like the grandiose song.
Yeah, that's in my Canadian content. And then
Sorry, I was never the biggest Hip fan. I'm not gonna lie to you guys.
I'm not a big Hip fan either, but this is my jam.
I had a bunch of buddies from Toronto, and they kind of shoved it down my throat. Pause in the '90s, you know what I'm saying? And it was everywhere, and it got a little too much for me. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna lie to you guys.
I don't think so. I think that they're a quintessential Canadian band, but what I mean by that is like they're Ontario's band. They are
Oh
like
yeah.
Alberta has like nothing to do with these guys. It's almost like you kind of caught them by diffusion. But if you grew up in Ontario or anywhere on the east side of Canada, you're probably all about these guys. I came into them rather late in my life, as Josh mentioned when Gord was sick. Actually, this is a really weird story. I was at a Broken Social Scene concert in Calgary the day that Gord Downie died. And I'm like 90% sure that one of the guys from Broken Social Scene was the producer on his solo album before he passed. And they were so sad, they didn't even play an encore. It
Wow,
was
yeah.
a weird, weird night, but it was one I'll never forget. That's my first pick. My
Good
second
pick.
pick is one of the only songs that I've ever listened to on cassette because my friend had a cassette player. I was just too young. They had older siblings, so they had already had stuff that, was popular. And it's gonna be No Diggity.
Nice. Yes,
Drizzy.
yes, yes.
Dre,
Yeah.
baby. Yeah, this is the kind of R&B or hip hop that your parents probably like when they heard that they're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Of course we'll buy you this tape. And it had really kind of opened my eyes as being a kid from, suburban Alberta to the idea of life somewhere else. And I'm not saying that this is like transformative of like the black experience or anything like that. but it's just a really friggin' catchy song.
It's all picks.
So that's going in R&B.
All right. Nick, you're on the board.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to jam up. Sorry, Josh. I'm going to jam you up. I'm going to jam you up. I'm going with my trend, and we could talk about this. My trend is females with guitars or in rock bands.
Lilith Fair.
So Lilith Fair.
Fiona Apple.
There was a bunch this year. Fiona Apple.
I know Jewel. What you're doing. I know what you're doing. I know.
But
what you're
doing. I'm going to go with another Canadian artist back to back. Alanis Morissette. You ought to know.
I'm fucked.
Yep. Absolutely. I saw that. That was right there.
You I don't know. Saw a pick. Yep. Yeah, you jammed me up.
Sorry, man.
It's
but
a
that
good
was my
pick.
Trend. Yeah, I think I don't know. Is it that's a trend, right? Like I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I'd say
well,
so.
Well, we just said it. Lilith Fair was
Lilith
the trend.
Lilith Fair. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
100%. Now, when did Lilith Fair start is the real question.
Oh, man.
I'm going to look it up.
Damn, that is good. All right, well.
Sorry, bro.
I got 97, back-to-backs here.
97 to 99. But it started in 1996 when Canadian musical artist Sarah McLachlan became frustrated with concert promoters.
Cool.
Oh, there's another one that's really good, too. I don't know if she's 96, though.
Which one? Sarah McLachlan?
No, the hottie Lisa Loeb.
Oh, yeah.
I had a crush on her when I was 9.
You say? Was that the one?
I think so.
Was that
I
her?
Missed you. Stay.
Oh, yeah, I miss you. Stay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that you say's the lyric. Right. Oh,
all right, well, song. I got back-to-back jacks here. I'm going to need a ruling. In female vocal, first of all, does it have to just be a full female vocal song? Or as long as a female vocalist is a major part of it, does that count?
Is it her song?
Yeah, it's gotta be her song. Yeah, her song. It can't be his song with her most of the
debatable,
time.
Debatable, because I'll go, my choice for that was Killing Me Softly, which I think is more Lauryn Hill than anybody else.
I'll let Nick decide.
No, I don't want to decide on a Lauryn Hill song.
What's the song? What's the credits? Like, what would you, if it showed up on your phone?
It says the Fugees. I think of that more of a specifically Lauryn Hill song than just a Fugees song.
She's also like
don't
because
I mean
part.
Pras and they don't do anything in it.
No, Pras okay. Does like one thing.
Pras and Wyclef don't do anything.
Yeah,
one time. I'll
give it to you. I mean, everyone should like Lauryn Hill.
All right, next up, I'm going
to... Lauryn Hill doesn't like everybody.
This is true. Next up, I'm going to go to electronic / dance.
Oh, man. Okay.
Get up and jam and welcome to the slam. Good. Quad City DJs, baby.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, come on. This is still at every basketball game. As someone that works a lot of basketball games... I still hear this song to this day, and Gen Z who don't probably know much, even probably watched the last. I've talked to Gen Z that just know this song and didn't even know it was from Space Jam, ironically enough.
That it's intro wild. Like gave me goosebumps. Even thinking about it, just the way that like you know Michael Jordan pops up, Bugs Bunny pops up, and they're just playing it, and then they go to the garden, like or wherever they're
it
going.
Still gets
like,
me hyped up, man. Every single time it gets me hyped up.
They play it. They freaking play it at halftime shows in the NBA all the time.
Yeah.
That's
so
like
going
basketball
with Space
song.
Jam.
100%
I mean,
it is.
There was other Quad City DJ songs from this year, and I'm like, and as soon as you see that, I'm like, yeah, Quad City DJ is Space Jam. So I will go with electronic Space Jam.
Great. Okay. All right. I'm going to go with... my female vocalist.
Don't do it.
I'm going to pick. Which one do I go with? I got two here. Let's go with female vocalist. I'm going to go with Aaliyah, One in a Million.
Yeah, I had that on my list.
Okay. We're still friends.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to say about the song?
It's a great song. I mean, Aaliyah put out, you know, whatever she did put out before, you know, she passed tragically, was banging. Like, she was great. She didn't miss. You know what I'm saying? She didn't miss. And she was on her way to being, you know, that next star, that next starlet to break out, you know, into acting and everything else. Like, she was on her way. And everything that's been, you know, said about her is like 100% true. Like, she was multi-talented. You know, when she linked up with Timberland and with Missy and that whole crew, that's when, you know, things started to really, you know, her sound started to develop. This was a little bit before that, but this is kind of where it started. You kind of hear her star power kind of take over on this album.
100%. No notes.
Oh, thank God. We're still friends. My pick?
Back to back.
Okay, my first pick in female vocalist is Unbreak My Heart.
Shit. Yeah. That was the other one. That was the other one.
That was my backup. I knew me softly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this like the more radio friendly Toni Braxton, like of those two songs that we're talking about, is this the more radio friendly one?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
I think One in a Million hit the more like the urban radio, honestly, you know, where it was just one of those songs because it had that feel to it. Whereas Toni hit that mainstream audience.
Another like scream breakup song.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get Trend out of the way. We touched on it briefly. This is the version of the Trend song. I'm going to go with a ska song. It's Santeria by Sublime.
Yes, nice.
It's probably the most, you know what? I had never listened to Sublime until college. And then
really?
It was in every college party, like, you know, and this was the early 2000s. So, you know, there was someone who had like a tattoo on your floor and they were like, oh, like we're going to play Sublime. And it was like, they thought they were just, you know, they had a tattoo like on their bicep or something. Yeah. Or not. We were kind of past the time of like the barbed wire over your bicep, but like, there are some people with some questionable tattoo choices in the 2000s. So I'll always think of college parties, even though it was like 10 years later, 15 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one was big. This was a huge album when I was in grade 10. You know, this was like, we were all listening to this, no matter who you were, kind of thing. You know, it was like, you know, if you're into hip hop, if you're into rock and roll, if you're into punk rock, it's like it just reached everybody. The whole album did. Because it's got a little something for everybody, you know, and it was just one of those albums that was just good. It was just a good album.
It blurs a lot. Like, I know we called it ska. Sure. I think that this song in particular blurs a lot of genres.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's hooky, it's catchy. Like, when the intro pops up, like, you know, like, I'm not a fan of this song in particular, but I know, like, the first six lines of the song. Oh, yeah. As everyone does, right?
Of course.
So I ain't got no crystal ball. I don't know.
Amazing.
Okay, those are my two.
Hey, Nick, you're back on the board.
All right. I'm going with I'm not gonna take a ruling here. I'm gonna go with a pop song. Because it's a little bit faster of a song from Toni Braxton, and it's You're Making Me High.
Okay, I like it.
Dang. Okay.
You pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Cool. Nick's coming for keeps in this one.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It comes back to me. I'm going to go to R&B. I'm going Casey and JoJo with Tupac. How bad do you want it?
Classic. The start of the Tupac. Here we go. Here we go.
Just a classic. Mm-hmm. And then we'll put Tupac on a pause for a second. But we'll stay on the West Coast. Hip hop, rap. I mean, the greatest group that Ice Cube was ever with, West Side Connection. Mm. Bow okay. down.
Amazing. Yep. Yep. Of course. Classic.
It sucks that him and Mac 10, and I guess Dub C doesn't get along with Mac 10 anymore either. It sucks that they can't make new music anymore. We have kind of like Mount Westmore now with Cube and Snoop and Short and 40. Which is dope, but I mean, West Side Connection, one of my favorite groups of all time. Ice Cube is one of my favorite rappers of all time. And the fact that he's been able to be so inclusive of going to these different groups and then to have West Side Connection and the success that they did and blast out. I mean, everything that happened for Mac 10 after this, Dub C had some stuff after this as well. Bow Down, still one of the all-time hip hop classics. Go hip hop and rap, Bow Down. And RB, R&B and hip hop, Casey and JoJo. Tupac. Casey and JoJo about to have a run, by the way, for the next 4 years.
Yeah. Yes. No, this is good. This is that's
Save
a
the Last
good
Dance. Just
twosome.
go look up at Save the Last Dance, Casey and JoJo.
Okay, so I have a question. We talk a lot about how rock was kind of a genre before, then it morphed into several subgenres. Is this the pinnacle of what we call like hip hop or R&B or rap? As a just a firm genre before we it splits off.
2003, I'd say.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe this because this is that is a bad. Don't want to talk about Puff Daddy, but this is a bad boy thing. This is bad boy. You know, this is like this is when he started mixing everybody. You know, with his with Biggie doing songs with everybody. You know.
We kind of mentioned it, like the idea. So Tupac and Biggie, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Sean Combs, whatever. The idea that I think at this point in time, hip hop or R&B or rap is like really easily, like there's only one genre of each of those. And then what happens is as it becomes more after we leave, we're kind of leaving gangster rap at this stage in the 90s, like
You're
you know,
getting
mid
to
to late 90s.
more. I wouldn't say you're at Common's Around now, but you're not at that conscious hip hop, the Common and some others
Yeah,
around. But
I don't think we're at like peak hip hop per se,
we're
like in terms of
past like the full out like gangster rap stuff because you're seeing other rappers bring a different genre. Without I don't want to spill into any of Nick's stuff, but let's just say there's some certain groups from the southern part of the United States that have came around and gave it a completely different sound to what hip hop would be. You have Nas with It Was Written this year, which adds an entire different thing. You got a Ghostface album this year as well that, you know, has Ghostface break away from Wu-Tang and really set up a different way. I mean, Wu-Tang and Ghostface and Eminem broken away, but it's a different year of not just, oh, this is East Coast, this is West Coast. You're starting to see different artists finally. E-40 has a huge album this year that comes
Like,
out.
is this the version of 1969 as it was for classic rock, for hip hop and R&B, where then in the 70s where we get the explosion of like prog rock and
It's
punk
a
and
weird year, Dev, because I think you could kind of say this is the end of an era in a way, right? Because, like we said, unfortunately, Pac dies this year, Biggie dies next year. This is the first year of the first Jay-Z album, right?
absolutely.
And, like, again, I don't want to spill on Nick's stuff because I think he's going to be having some of these artists. There's certain artists from the South that are jumping up this year. Nas has his second album that is a completely different album from a lot of stuff that you were hearing. So it's kind of that new wave of Nas and Jay-Z and these other groups that are about to take over the hip hop scene in the 2000s. Eminem has an album this year, by the way. It only has like I think two tracks on it, but Eminem's technical first album, it's just an EP, comes out in 96. So you're seeing a lot of those staples that are going to be big marks of hip hop in the later 90s and into the 2000s starting to populate this area as we start to unfortunately see the end of the Pac and Biggie era.
Yeah, it's almost like this seems very transitional. And then what happens in it's kind of sets up like the late 90s, which then sets up like the early 2000s, where then hip hop and R&B become like the dominant art form of pop
Yeah.
music
That's why it's kind of still
on
my
radio.
trend is it's the peak to me of this era, and then the
Absolutely,
new
it is.
era starts next year.
I think that's a very fair assessment because the genre changes a lot in the late 90s, and then I think it then gets redefined in the 2000s. So like in the like no one really talks about like late 90s hip hop and R&B with the same reverence they talk about like late 80s to early 90s to mid 90s. And then of
And I
course
do.
what we talk about, but then we talked about 2003 onwards where we're talking about Outkast as if like they're your mom's favorite band when in reality like they're a whole other
I mean, we're
beast.
what, 2 years away from DMX and Rough Rider starting to happen. And like I said, Jay's just doing Reasonable Doubt. And he's just, and Reasonable Doubt's a good album, but it didn't put Jay-Z on the mark like the way that other albums coming forward would put Jay-Z on the market, being the guy. Like when Jay-Z drops Reasonable Doubt, people are like, no one would have thought this guy could have been the king of hip hop at that point. They're like, oh, he's a nice artist. That's cool. No one would have seen where he was coming from. I remember when he dropped Reasonable Doubt, they're like, yeah, this guy's pretty good. But no one thought they see what they see. Also, let's just not forget, we had a Shaq album this year as well with Big E.
Oh, Shaq Diesel.
Yo, wasn't it a platinum?
Yep.
Hell yeah. Okay, so another
mix
question.
Up, by the way.
That's all good.
I know. You're talking about Jay-Z, right? And I've kind of come back around. Like, I think he's really, really close to the top, if not the top, just because the run that he had.
Of MCs of all time?
He's not in my top five.
Oh, no.
You know what? It's not.
I could see it, but.
I'm not trying to like, you know, break it down right now, but I'm trying to talk about like from, you know, Hard Knock Life to the Black Album, essentially is really, really, really strong.
Yeah.
And so volume two to the Black Album. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's five or six albums. One, two, three,
Gift
four,
and Curse,
five.
Gift and Curse should have been one album. If it was one album, it would have been good. That double album was kind of,
probably. A, I mean, the blueprint. The blueprint is better.
The blueprints, Blueprint 2.0, a Black Album, I think, yes, really changed the level of where he was at. Carter Volume 3, I thought was like really the start of what was coming for Jay. But I mean, we're talking like, I still think, you know, not to get into this whole debate right now as we're dealing with the Kendrick and the Drake stuff right now. Like, to me, when that whole beef was going on, like as fun as this beef is, I still don't think it's matched what Jay and Nas was. And maybe there's a bit of the nostalgia on there of you're waiting for the albums to come out for the disses to each other. When Ether dropped, like, it was like, it's over. Like, and Jay had some nice stuff, but it's still why, like, when we talk about diss tracks, you're talking about he Ethered him, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about Ether. You're talking about Hit Him Up. You're talking about No Vaseline, right?
Yeah.
But when Nas dropped that, I thought it was a wrap for Jay-Z. I'm not going to lie. I thought there's no way anyone can come back from this. Just Nas destroyed him.
I'm just wondering, as like a run from 1998 to 2003, it's a 5-year run that's remarkably consistent. And I'm just not sure, like, we talk a lot of MCs and their peaks and things like that. And I just, whether or not his peak is as high as Illmatic, for example, or whatever.
As popularity, he was more popular than Nas, for example. Sure. But I mean, you know, DMX comes around two years after this. I don't think I guess maybe he did, but do you think he ever reached the hype of the Rough Riders and DMX at their peak, Nick?
Jay-Z? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he did. That's a stupid question.
Yeah.
I think Rough Riders was a side thing compared to Jay-Z.
Everyone
knew who Jay-Z was.
I think over this next like 5 years, then we'll get the next pick. As much as I'm not a huge fan of this MC, but like when M dropped his album, it was unlike anything I've ever seen. When M dropped the Slim Shady LP, that was unbelievable. And then just 4 years later when 50 dropped In the Club, like that album just was everywhere. It was everywhere. And you know, Jay-Z always felt like he was there, but I always felt like, and maybe I have to go back, where I always felt there was an artist that was right there with Jay-Z, or he was just slightly below. I think maybe Black Album was the one you could say was Jay-Z's year. It'd be a fun podcast to go back and do, but I always felt there was another artist there. It's like, no, it's his year. Jay's just right there. I mean, when Rockefeller happens, then Kanye starts outshining them and everything, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, then 2004, and that was the beginning.
Yeah. Nick, you're on the board.
All right, all this talk, I got to get it out of the way, man. I got to do my rap pick. I got to do my rap. I got to do Outkast, ATLians. Have to do it,
man.
Got to do it. It was mentioned so much, I had to pick it because it was going to go.
It was so hard to pick that, to pick Bow Down over ATLians.
Of course.
That was one of the hardest picks I've ever had to do in this music thing. When I heard that Outkast album for the first time, I was like, what is this?
So you want to talk about a run? You want to hear 96 or 98 to 2003? It's Stankonia, or it's Equimini, Stankonia, and Speakerbox, Love Below.
And that the other Southern group I was talking about.
Album run.
And UGK comes out this year, by the way. That's the other Southern group I'm talking about. It's like the Southern rap stuff comes out, and you're like, what is this? We're not even near Cash Money yet, Nick. We're like, these two, like, that Outkast run is stupid. And then UGK has this run that is unbelievable. I remember hearing Pimp C for the first time. Like, what is this? But then you hear Andre, and you're like, no, no, what is this?
Right.
Blow a big boy. No, 100%. That's a great pick. It was very hard for me to pick between that and Bow Down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to get it out of the way.
All right, Dev.
Cool.
Oh, okay, you guys are forcing me to some tough decisions. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it, but I'm in some tough decisions right now. Okay, I just saw that this performer is doing a 2-album live show reunion, if you will, this year. In the rock category, I'm taking the Wallflowers' One Headlight. Yeah, you know what? It's a song that I don't think about often. In fact, I think about it very rarely. Just the Wallflowers in general. But when I hear it, it kind of makes me go like, oh, like, was I missing something or what did I miss? Or like, I can see exactly why the Wallflowers, it means basically one guy, but why he was a big deal.
So he's putting out a double album? The Wallflowers?
No, he's performing his first 2 albums in their entirety this year. He's going around playing the Wallflowers and Bringing Down the Horse.
And is it going to be in conjunction with the Bob Dylan movie?
You know what? Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Who's to say? And then I'm an
impressionable. That was a good pick. Yeah, no, you know what? You. I'm not going to lie. That was a good pick.
No, I'm like not trying. I'm not trying to justify it. But I'm yeah, now yeah, my no, second. Now, pick. now my second pick. this one. You guys are going to slap yourselves for not picking earlier. Ooh. In the pop category, I'm taking If It Makes You Happy by Sheryl Crow.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked at it.
That was going to be my trend before I decided to screw Josh up. my trend pick.
I'm good. I got a good Canadian song.
Great pick.
Oh, great pick. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, great pick. Especially back-to-back, Wallflowers and Sheryl Crow. That is on a mixtape. Millions of mixtapes everywhere.
Oh, you know how many babies were made to those songs?
A lot.
Oh, I love it. Speaking of baby making songs, I'm gonna do my R&B category. Yeah. I'm doing Pony by Ginuwine.
Mm-hmm.
This song that you were talking about, baby making.
Oh yeah,
this was like the pre-baby making. This was the disrobing song.
I think my favorite use of Pony was in Parks and Rec at the big festival with I can't remember what the little ponies called, Little Sebastian. When they did the little thing for Little Sebastian. Amazing.
Amazing.
All right. We'll hold off. Let's go with Rock. Ooh. Let's go with Swallowed by Bush.
Okay.
Love this album. Okay. Solid album. Like I said, like, you know, there's always this, like I was telling Nick on our chat, like I wasn't like going crazy. That Smashing Pumpkins album was like the first real taste of rock I had. And no doubt the 95 was the first album I ever bought. And I bought that Smashing Punk album. And then I bought both these at the time, Bush X albums, I believe is the first year they're just called Bush. And then I played this a lot in my music player quite a bit.
Back then. Bush was good. Bush was a good band. They were big
out of the CD.
Yeah, they had some hits. They put out some good stuff.
And then Canadian content. Let's go to the one and only Bryan Adams.
There you go.
The only thing that looks good on you is me. Classic. Yeah,
that's why there's so many Bryans with a Y in.
Yeah.
B-R-Y-A-N.
I remember my dad used to have a Mustang convertible and just blazing this at the top of it. There's a lot of Bryan Adams in that car. This was one that definitely stuck out there. Awesome. I will admit you did take all my picks with Canadians, but luckily Bryan Adams was there to bail me. It was a good Canadian year. Not really any Canadian hip hop yet. Choc Lair and Maestro and Rascals are not really doing their thing. And I'm not gonna lie, side story where we're doing this, I was really hoping to check the OR was this year, and I knew it was 94, but I really wanted to check the OR to be this year to pull that out on y'all.
Amazing.
So yeah, those are my, I'm gonna go with Swallowed by Bush and Rock, and then in CanCon, I will go Bryan Adams.
Amazing. All right. Let's stick with the theme here. Let's go with, I'll do a wild. I'll pick a wild card. No, not yet. No. I'm gonna go rock. Let's go rock. Let's do that one first. And I'm gonna go with a Sublime song. I'm gonna go with What I Got.
Nice.
Nice. And again, this could be in three different genres, four different genres this year. So I'm going with rock.
I like it. Very good pick, Dev. How many scenes do you have left? You got three picks left, Dev?
One, two, I got four.
You got four. Okay, I got
So
three.
I've been going in twos.
Yeah.
I've been going in twos. I only have like enough research to get me. Oh fuck me. Is this what? Nope.
It's always what you want to hear. It's
It's
hear that. Got it.
released. It's you know what? I mean, we talked about this very briefly.
We had so this is the
This.
debate with California Love, by the way. California
Yeah.
Love, fucking December 95. The album comes out in
Yeah.
February. Ugh.
I know the single for 1979 comes out in 1996, but the album came out in 95.
Yeah. It's album.
Okay, I'm going to be a really bad person, but in 1996 I really
Oh
cared about
my
Space Jam.
God.
In our it R&B it's coming. Cuz believe I
Nick
can fly.
left the chat. Nick
And
literally
I
left the
know I lost
chat.
some of you guys, but
Nick literally
I
left the
know.
chat.
But you want to pause?
I'm kidding.
He's back.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Well, you know what? It's not because I want to do it, but it's really hard not, like, if you're talking about Quad City DJs, it's really, really hard not to talk about this song.
There's three songs in that album you talk about, and we've picked two of them, and there's one more on there.
Yeah. Now, what I'm having a hard time. So
Just go with
I got
Seal. Just
Electronic
pick
and two
Seal
Wilds
and
left.
then just pick Seal.
Ooh, Seal.
You know what? As I had a real strong
Time keeps
emotional
on
tie to I Believe I Can Fly,
slipping into the
which is a but
future.
that's a cover of a Steve Miller Band
Steve
song.
Miller,
So
yeah.
I feel weird about picking covers.
All
Like,
right.
well, it is, we'll talk about Jeff Buckley
What's your
another
other
time,
pick?
but my other pick is Bulls on
Oh,
Parade
you son
in Wild.
of a...
Damn.
This is the weirdest, some college kid in 1986 who was probably smoked their first joint was probably, this is the greatest playlist of all time. I'm looking at it now and I have no way I can organize this into something that makes sense. But you know what? There's some heat on this.
Love it.
Oh, that one really, really jammed me up. I got three picks left, and that one's going to be my next one. Congratulations.
You know what? I you know
What a
what?
great song.
It is a great song. And is it made better, or was it just kind of reaffirmed that it was good because it was on Guitar Hero?
No idea. Never played it.
You never played Guitar Hero?
Yeah, I know, right? It's a big, yeah, I know.
Well, that's
It's a
a no.
big miss.
I mean, you were like, you were firmly an adult, like probably having adult relationships, and I was like wearing two polos at the same time. So we were in different points of our lives.
I just never got around to it. You know what it was? I was all pissed off because I'm like, I play real guitar. I'm not playing this nonsense.
You were probably
I
like
was that
you were holding hands and like kissing people, and I was like just not even interested in that yet. But Bulls on Parade was a pretty good song. It was fun to play in
great
Guitar
song.
Hero.
Oh man, I'm so mad now.
You were
One of
just
their
waiting
more
for the first
accessible
Metal Gear
songs,
Solid to
probably.
come out, Dev.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't even know what it was, but I was excited for it.
Yeah. Right, Nick, what do you got?
Man, well, nothing now. All right, I'm gonna need a ruling. I got two, but
Here we
I want
go.
to pick one, but I need a ruling. So The original song came out in 1995, but then they redid it for a soundtrack in 1996.
Does it sound different?
Is this like
Got a
that
different
Vanilla Ice
title?
scene? Is
It's
that
got a
like this?
different title.
Is it the Vanilla Ice scene? It was like their song goes do 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 do, but my song goes do 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 do.
So you can debate. I want to do Born Slippy from Underworld as my dance song, but the train spotting one came out in 96, but the original came out in 95. It's kind of why I need the ruling.
Is the track
And I'm good.
different?
It's a little different. It's a
I'm gonna give it the dodgeball Chuck Norris thumbs up.
You know what? Because it is not on my list, nor do like I've watched Trainspotting. I really enjoyed it as a film. I just like can't think of the song. So in that case, I'm just gonna rule that I assume that you were a person who did their due diligence
No, I mean,
and
I didn't. At least I'm the same. I'm just saying they have a different
no.
name, though, sort of.
Whatever, I
But
don't care. I
it's
don't
okay.
care.
But I can pick another one. It's
No,
okay.
we're
You know what?
allowing it.
We're allowing it? Okay.
We're allowing
Okay.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Okay.
I'll allow it. I
Okay.
don't care.
Okay. I don't
All right.
care. We're not fighting for it.
It's all good. I got another one. I got my backup. It's all good,
And I
which might
don't
be
think you have to
better.
worry about losing any of your songs with my two next picks.
It's all good.
We're going double wild card. First off, featuring Big Psych,
Yes.
Tupac Shakur, Picture Me Rollin'. Just
Yes,
one of
there it
the
is.
all-time best driving songs.
Perfect, even better. It's
Just
in the title.
unbelievable.
Okay.
Just
All
fantastic.
right.
And then I'm not, you're
Okay,
not.
go on.
And then
Let me get
also
my
from
Tupac in.
All Eyes on Me, Snoop Dogg and Tupac, two of America's Most Wanted.
Yes.
So another Tupac
Amazing.
right there. Just for people keeping track, that's a grand total of three now.
Amazing.
I mean that one, it's Snoop and Pac together. What more do you want? And a great music video to boot. Just absolutely phenomenal. All right, Nick, pick my Tupac. So it's all you.
Okay, so I mean, all right, so Tupac, let's talk about Tupac for a quick second. So for the longest time, for probably what, 96, 97, so probably 27 years, I wasn't a Tupac fan, in a meaning his first three albums, I loved his first three albums.
Yep.
They were amazing. They were He was different, you know. He was very socially conscious,
Me
really
Against the World,
fighting
man.
for
It's
the
one of my favorite
people,
albums.
right? 100%. Like he was that guy that, you know, he was that outspoken, you know, person of in that community, you know, and he really nailed it and had a bunch of people following him, and you know, and it was amazing. Then he goes to jail, Suge gets him out, and he makes a Death Row record, which is nothing like anything he did before. Right, he went a completely different direction, threw all of that stuff, that back catalog stuff, out the window, and just started creating new, you know, rap albums. And I kind of didn't really like that. I liked the old Pac. I liked his messages. I thought he was a great poet, and he just kind of threw all that out the window on All Eyes on Me. Now, 2024, I realize I've come to the conclusion I'm fine with it because
Turned around.
He wasn't that person anymore. And I get it. You know, it's like we all think that, you know, when you hear, for an example, like Eminem, right? I don't want to bring him up, but it's like if he's not screaming on a record, people are like, oh, he's not angry anymore. But what does he have to be angry about? You know, Pac's got money now. What's he struggling for? He's not allowed to rap about struggle anymore. He's got money, you know?
Isn't
So it's
this the
kind of
whole
like,
debate about Andre 3000 and his flute album?
sure.
He's even he even said it. He's like, how what am I supposed to rap about anymore?
100%. What's so funny with this? So Nick, I like your reasoning for not listening to Pac is for like almost two decades and not really respect it. It's so much better than my reason for not listening to Biggie until liking Biggie until like 2 years ago. I didn't like Biggie. I had never even heard Ready to Die fully until 2023.
Do yourself a
And that was
favor.
simply because fuck Biggie. Fuck Bad Boy. That's where I was. Except for Mace. For
Wow.
whatever reason, I liked Mace because I found him
Wow.
funny.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
But that your reason is much better than where I was of not listening to arguably, other than Rakim, maybe the best lyricist of all time in Biggie Smalls.
Amazing. Yeah, no, that's, I mean, it's fair. I mean, you're a West Coast dude till you die, so it's like, I get it. I get it.
But then you listen
Your
to Ready to
reasoning
Die,
is
like,
good.
oh shit, I fucked up.
Yeah,
So
it's
let me
fair.
ask two people who I'd say are in the culture. At this point in time in our lives, so far removed from the Biggie Pac thing, is this like a LeBron Jordan thing, or is this,
No, this is just
or is it?
hatred.
No, I get that. What I'm saying is, like, so we've all kind of talked about how, like, you know, you picked one, then you started listening to them and really appreciated them. Is one, in your opinion, clearly better than the other,
They're
or is
so
it?
different. They're
Yeah, that's
so
what I'm kind of saying.
different. Like, Biggie is just a master lyricist. And Pac, like Nick was saying, Pac was, especially in some of those, like talking about Brenda's Got a Baby, Dear Mama, I could go on, like a bunch of these songs. He was just so conscious in a way. I was listening to a lot of Pac this week as I was preparing for this pod. And you're just like, man, Pac was just so ahead of some of these messages back then in the 90s that are like, we talk about, like, rappers now, like, oh, we need to talk about this stuff. It's like, yeah, but Pac was talking about this stuff in the early 90s. And it is such a different, I think even when Thug's Mansion came out, people were like, what is this? Because some people that just had heard Death Row stuff, Thug's Mansion is kind of the old Pac, right? That was kind of the Pac that he had in those prior albums. It's one of the reasons too, I hate the song Changes for a reason, because it's just Heaven, I wonder if Heaven Got a Ghetto remix. It's a great song, but I know what the original song is, and it's just a few bars switched over. But Changes is still a great song of what the spirit of Pac was. I mean, you can also pick from this year if you wanted to. You could pick Hit 'Em Up, because Hit 'Em Up comes out this year. And it's just under like a Death Row tape. I am going on and on here, but I would say, and I'll let you go on your thought, Nick. I just thought you can say who's better, who's not better. I think they both do things that are just so different. At the end of the day, they came out at the perfect time and were so perfect to take hip hop to the next level, that it needed to be at to really hit it to the mainstream, and that DMX and Jay-Z and M, everyone took the next decade and took over to take it to where it was. I would have loved to see both of them, get past the beef and all the bullshit, because I, Pac and Biggie were boys before all this bullshit and the beef started. And I would have loved to seen them reconnect down and do a track and everything. Unfortunately, we didn't get that. But in my opinion, it's really, if you're going to just go by just base off lyricists, as much as Pac is my favorite over Biggie, Biggie's a better lyricist. There's no doubt about it. As a storyteller, maybe Pac's the better of the two of them. It's so close. There's so many different things between the both of them. At the end of the day, as I drag out this long story, I think, like I said, they're just both were so fantastic for hip hop, and it's arguably why they're the two most iconic figures in hip hop history.
Pretty good.
I like it.
That was a really
What do
good
you?
essay for English class.
That
That's
was
good.
Nick's like, well, Biggie's better.
No. There's one person that's better than both of them, and it's my next pick.
Okay.
Come on, man. It's gonna be Nas.
Yeah, Nas.
Nas, the better of the three. I said it and I meant it.
Yeah,
If I rule the world.
when you look at, oh yeah, that was on my list. And by the way, too, Nas has Street Dreams, which is making fun of Pac this year.
Oh, yes.
Not the message
The message,
as
power,
well. Power,
that
like
album is nuts. That's a great, great second album.
this album completely changed my overall thinking of, started to think of what hip hop was. We talked about ET Aliens and Aquarium, and what that album was. This Nas album, you already had Illmatic, and Illmatic was, unbelievable, one of the best albums of all time. But this album comes out, it's just like, again, completely changes what you're doing, to the point Nas just had that song with DJ Premier, and everyone's just like, for old hip hop heads like me and Nick, we're like, oh, okay, this is the real hip hop right here. I remember back in my day.
There it is. And it was funny because it's got your boy on the production on one track.
Yeah.
And Nas coming. Dr. Dre produced a track on this album.
I
That was a
know.
big deal back then. I almost picked that song just for that.
That's why Pac started beefing with Dre at the end there. This is when Dre kind of says peace to Death Row. He's about to split off and do Aftermath. And then Suge gets in his ear, and that's when Pac starts doing everything that he's starting to do against Dre at this point. And I think, like I said, you have that Snoop album at the end of the year, and Snoop is, you can tell it's not Snoop.
Nope. No.
There's some good stuff in there, but that's a great pick. Very good pick.
And I had to go after your Tupac's. I was waiting for it. I was going to do it earlier, but I was waiting for your Tupac's.
I'll tell you, when I saw that it was written, it was out this year, I lost my shit. I'm like, how am I going to fit this in here? I'm like, Nick will take care of it.
Yeah, you're not.
Dev?
Yeah, I got two left. I need a ruling. I want to take the Chemical Brothers, which was released. It was released as a single earlier than the album came out. And so it was released as a single in 96 as their first, as the lead single, but the album didn't come out until 97.
Yeah, I'm good with that for sure. Yeah,
all right. If that's the case, I'm going to take Chemical Brothers' Setting Sun with Noel Gallagher from Oasis, as we talked about, as my electronic pick.
They're kind of a big deal right now.
You know what? I came across their latest album, like, really late night, playing video games and linking up my Apple Music to my video game or whatever, and just like started playing, and I was like, just
not
so
Oasis,
blown.
Right? Not Oasis.
No, not Oasis. Not Oasis. Like, Chemical Brothers.
Did something happen that I don't know about?
No. Like the Chemical Brothers' latest album, was just all over my Apple Music for just because it hits the algorithm. And I'd never really given them like the time of day.
Yeah.
Now that I've gone through like the discography a few times, and including this last album, which I think is like just supremely, incredibly cool. I can say I'm a fan now, even though I don't know why, because a few of their songs like are so ubiquitous in pop culture right now, or just in general, like they're like, you've heard a couple of their songs just in the background of so many things, and it's like, damn, like they are kind of like legends for a reason. So I'll put that in my electronic one. So given the
this album too, like the you know, the next album from 97, that's kind of where they kind of broke out.
It's huge,
you know, and the first album, their first album is fine, like people listen to it, but this one, like, people listened to this one.
Oh, absolutely. Like they become like vanguards of this weird 90s electronic music where it becomes really easy to make. But it isn't really popular for some reason until like I'm like maybe like the industrial side kind of gets popular like with the Matrix, I suppose. But where I'm looking at it from now, like, you know, 20 or 30 years later, like they're the forefront to me. Like they're almost as influential as Daft Punk.
But this is also like they were like an underground.
Yes.
Like group, so this is weird. So they're almost like, I don't know how familiar you are with like the 90s techno stuff, but like they're like a Ninja Tune like duo that made it big. You know, there's all these bands kind of like, you know, like Aphex Twin or Autech or like all these. Like,
I looked at Aphex Twin's album this year,
you know, but all that stuff. But it's like Chemical Brothers was the one to break, you know, that next year, and that, you know, and that's really interesting. This is a good pick,
very good.
Yeah, I've really kind of come into my own with them. I feel like I understand them now. I probably, you know, if I listened to them when I was 17 or even 22, I probably would just, you know, disregard it as being like overly complicated electronic music that you're not supposed to dance to at a club. And now that I listen to it more and more and more, especially with this last album, that's all I want to listen to electronic music wise. And then my last wild card comes from arguably one of my favorite movies of the 90s, Romeo plus Juliet.
Paul Rudd,
the Cardigans. The Cardigans. Yes. Love Fool.
Damn.
Yes.
And
yes.
This is like bubblegum pop. It's like, it kind of has a meaning to it. It's just, I don't know. Like you know, sugar in your teeth. Like it just kind of gets into you and just kind of rotting you from the inside. And it's really hard not to like this song. So that's my end of my draft.
Amazing.
Not bad.
Good pick. Great pick.
Thank you.
Nick, finish it off for yourself.
This last one, I had it. I'm still kind of jammed up on that Rage Against the Machine pick. I'm not going to lie. I'm still kind of jammed up on it.
I thought you guys would go earlier on Rage.
Yeah, no. I think I should have. It's okay.
That album was everywhere, by the way. Like every Sam Goody, every A and B sound, really getting the juices for nostalgia flowing off those names. I saw that album everywhere.
Okay.
Future
Wild.
Shop.
Yeah. Amazing. Future Shop.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For my last wild card pick, this was the other pick for my electronic. That could have been my electronic, but I'm going with Firestarter from Prodigy.
There's so many.
That was my second. Man. If you said no to my Chemical Brothers one, I was going to pick that.
So that was it. So third. It had to be picked. It had to be
that
picked.
Was my
you know,
third.
We all had it on the list. It was like the bridesmaid, you know, we had to do
man,
that.
Now I can hear it in my son. That was like, was that in the Matrix?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of 2000s
probably
movies.
Hackers. Hackers or
yeah.
whatever.
It
yeah.
was in a lot of movies.
It was in a lot of movies.
Cool.
Damn, I love that pick. I'm actually mad about that one now. I had it third on my list, but now I'm just, you know, it's really stuck in my head. My last one is Trend. And like I said, Trend, I think is just kind of the end of an era. So. One more Tupac song, just for the fun. Although I debated going dance as well as this, so I do want to give credit to Ready to Go by Republica, which is a great jam.
Yep.
Vegas
yep.
Vacation, for those who don't know. It's when it popped out for me.
Bad movie.
finishing off, Tupac, Only God Can Judge Me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
To so, finish her off.
Yeah.
Dang.
For those that are counting... Four Tupac songs.
So you better hope your listeners are Tupac fans.
Oh, I'm it's done. The streak is over. This is Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. I'm done. If I win this one, I will be shocked.
Tell me how you really feel about Tupac versus Biggie.
Well, there was no Biggie songs to pick this year. I was going to do a separate Biggie and Tupac category, but there was no. He had the one song. I think he had the song with Diesel with Shaq. I think he has the Bone Thugs song this year as well.
Not the one he did on his album.
No, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because that was on his. That was on, yeah.
Dev, let's go backwards to this. What did you have?
Okay. This is not the order I'm intending to listen to because I said I was, I'm trying marijuana for the first time in the 90s, clearly. The Wallflowers, One Headlight. Sheryl Crow, If It Makes You Happy. The Chemical Brothers, Setting Sun. R. Kelly, I Believe I Can Fly, and I'm sticking to it. Hip Hop, Blackstreet, No Diggity. Trend was Ska, Sublime, Santeria. Female vocalist, Toni Braxton, Unbreak My Heart. Canadian content, Tragically Hip, Ahead by a Century. Wild Card, Rage Against the Machine, Bulls on Parade. Wild Card, The Cardigans, Love Fool. Now, I feel
and
good
name?
About this one.
That's a good list, man.
Okay, yeah, this is kind of an inside joke 2 seconds before our podcast started, but the name for this...
You remember.
Yes. No one's going to know except for Nick and I. The name for this particular playlist is called The Buttleg Surfers.
Oh, no.
It's so good. It's so good.
Wow.
And I'm done. Right.
Amazing. Oh, good for you.
Nick?
All right. So I'm going to go just in order the way I drafted them, and I'll figure it out when I get to it. But there's going to be a theme with these first couple ones. All right. So Canadian, Celine Dion, It's All Coming Back to Me. Trend, Alanis Morissette, You Ought to Know. Female artist, Aaliyah, One in a Million. Pop, Toni Braxton, You're Making Me High. Rap, Outkast, ATLians. R&B, Genuine, Pony. Rock, Sublime, What I Got. Dance, Underworld, Born Slippy. Wildcard, Nas, If I Ruled the World. And Wildcard, Firestarter by The Prodigy.
Beat the Firestarter. And the name?
Butt Legs and B-Sides.
Yes.
I stuck with it. Butt Legs and B-Sides.
I love how the first four songs is just the love affair.
Right?
Which is your trend.
Right. 100%. My trend.
All right. B-side, the first side of this, we go with Wannabe by the Spice Girls and Killing Me Softly. I should just go from the instead of trying to figure out where everything goes. I'll do that later. Rock is swallowed by Bush. Pop is Wannabe by the Spice Girls. Dance Less Electronic is Quad City DJ Space Jam. R&B is Tupac and Casey and JoJo. How Bad Do You Want It? Our hip hop and rap is Bow Down by West Side Connection. Female vocalist is Lauryn Hill and the Fugees, Killing Me Softly. CanCon is Bryan Adams. And then trend is Only God Can Judge Me. And wild cards are Picture Me Rolling and Two of America's Most Wanted. Ooh. And the title of it is Fat-tacular Ambitions of Machiavelli.
Oh, wow.
No butt legs.
Subcolon, butt legs, spice up your life.
Spice down your life, maybe.
So who hasn't done a pick for a while between you and Dev?
I don't know if Dev has. I don't know.
I have. I picked like 03.
Did
like,
you?
Okay.
Yeah, I did. Nick, you pick one, Nick.
It's your time. People love the preview of they live. What about this one? And what about this one? What about this one?
All right. I'm going to do a real hard one. Well, not a hard one, but I have no idea. I'm just going to go off the top. I'm just going to go off the top. I want to do like 2011 or something. Hey. I want to do like 2011,
I love
2012.
It.
I have no idea kind of what came out. I couldn't tell you a song from
so 2012. You want to do 2011? Locking it
sure,
in?
Sure, let's do 2011. Yeah, check it out. See what's
it's
up.
Adele time, baby.
Okay, perfect.
Rolling in the Deep. You got Nicki Amazing. Minaj.
Beautiful.
You got Lil Wayne. You got Rihanna. Yep. The number one song that year is Rolling in the Deep. We got yep. Katy Perry.
Sure.
We got Pitbull. I'm good. Oh, we got Pitbull.
Yes, Mr. Worldwide. Let's go.
We got Bruno Mars. We got One Republic. We got Wiz Khalifa. We got Black Eyed Peas. It's actually not a bad year. This is kind of fire. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Pumped up Kicks.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
We got like a little bit of everybody.
T-Swizzy is just yeah. really starting to.
So she's country still.
It's a little still country T-Swift. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. No, yeah. I'm into it. I just, you know. See what's up. I have no idea. I want to go down this rabbit hole. You know, I didn't really, you know, this 2010 to like today, you know, it's kind of like I'm very pick and choose to what I listen to. So to do a deep dive in one of these years, I think is going to be kind of.
I mean, cool. the T Swift, you still got Mine and Why Do You Gotta Be So Mean? So you're getting into some like
good songs,
some good Taylor Swift singles at this point. I would love to say this is the breakout album, but. Swifties, I know every single album's a breakout album. Don't come for me. Every Taylor Swift album is fantastic and great and a masterpiece.
Interesting.
That's all I'm going to say.
Even the last one, which one reviewer described as like music for 30-year-olds.
There you go. Perfect. I fit the genre for one more year. All right.
I really want to say this one more time just before we wrap up in 1996, because some people are going to say, how could nobody include the Macarena?
I know.
Which was forever, which was originally done in like 93, but then the remix is what became the unstoppable juggernaut that it is, the greatest one hit wonder of all time, which was made like in 95 and then re-released in 96. And the re-release is when it like caught fire. So yep. Just to clarify that as an addendum to our podcast.
Yep. Who won the Grammys that year? We normally don't do that. Like,
I'm sure it'd be Adele if you talked about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying for this year, just before we leave, who won the Grammys for 96?
Celine Dion.
Well, Record of the Year was Change the World by Eric Clapton, which we didn't pick.
Oh, yeah.
But 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins is in that.
Ooh, amazing.
So it's kind of all over the place. Celine Dion and Alanis Morissette are both in that. Tracy Chapman. Celine Dion wins Album of the Year. I never understand the difference between Record of the Year and Album of the Year.
I think it's single.
Yeah.
So like song.
Yeah.
Song of the Year was Change the World by Eric Clapton.
Sick.
New Artist was Leanne Rimes.
Ooh.
It's on with Garbage. That album came out in 95 because I looked at Garbage because that's a great album, that Garbage album.
Yeah. Stupid Girl?
Yeah. 95. Yeah, okay. I had it on my list and I found it was 95. Jewel, I didn't check what Jewel had. No Doubt, 95 as well. And the Tony Rich Project. Best pop was Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton. Best pop vocal was Eric Clapton. Best pop duo, of course, the Beatles won.
Of course they did.
As a duo? As a
bird. Yeah.
As a duo.
And of course, for two of them. Best pop collaboration, Nat King Cole won.
This is where the Grammys don't. No one.
Why
cares
are we
anymore.
Like this? Yeah, this is like the Steely Dan picks. Come on, man.
And of course, for best traditional pop, Tony Bennett won.
Did he do it with somebody? Was it a Lady Gaga-esque person?
Here's to
just
the ladies.
Tony Bennett.
And in this category, we also have Liza Minnelli. So we're just killing it.
Maybe Tony Bennett's like a vampire, and the only way that he has stayed, stayed so relevant was he was just sucking like the artistic talent out of all these like young female vocalists.
Best rock vocal performance was Beck.
Yeah. So that was going to be my ruling. So I was going to ask you guys. So
electronic.
Beck's half Canadian. Would that be a Canadian artist?
Oh, I would have counted it.
Oh, interesting. I also saw him in a lot of like electronic lists. So I was going to ask if he's electronic or rock.
Who's right. Canadian? His mom or his dad?
I don't. I think his mom.
You lose because it's his dad.
Ah, damn.
So you can't have it.
So I needed to know the Canadian.
You needed to know
of said artist. Okay.
You needed to know.
So
I
next
just
time.
Checked. I just
okay.
checked.
Next
his
time
dad is
I
also
to.
A musician, David Campbell.
Even better.
Yeah. He's composed on films like North Country, Brokeback Mountain, Annie, Foxcatcher, Rock of Ages,
Dream
Girls, Joy. Here's one last thing before we get out of here. A very interesting music fact that I did not know. So, Dev, you know at Jabba's Palace, all the songs that were done in Jabba's Palace that were sung and everything like that?
Okay.
Do you know who sang those?
No.
The lead singer of Toto.
Oh, no shit.
And do you know who the lead singer of Toto's father is?
I did know this at one point, but please remind me.
John Williams.
There you go. That's what it is. Because they're a bunch of session musicians that really took off.
Yeah.
They were just a bunch of nobodies who got hired to play.
He also did Yub Nub, by the way. He also sang Yub Nub. So just hold the line, Africa, Yub Nub.
Amazing. That's a playlist and a half right there.
Classics. All right. We will see you for 2011. For Nick, for Devin, Josh. Cheers and enjoy the day.
Thank you for listening to the Fresh Take Network. Follow us on social media platforms at Fresh Take 42.